Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, a couple of trade possibilities, some rumors out there, some thoughts out there, trades I would not make in exchange for D'Angelo Russell or Naz Reid. I want to start there. Let's also talk about Anthony Edwards' recent hot streak. Could he possibly make the All-Star game? It's all coming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day and happy Timberwolves game day. The Wolves take on the Golden State Warriors this evening. We'll cover that later in the show. First, though, some trade deadline talk and some Ant All-Star talk. But the very first thing is a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon. With two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, let's start with some of the trade talk. So the deadline's a week from Thursday, so 8 days from now, February 6th. And I've talked about this before on the show. The Wolves don't have a ton of guys that are really trade, I don't want to say eligible, that are like reasonable trade candidates, right? They've got guys they're not going to trade, Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jaden McDaniels. They've got guys that they really probably can't trade. That would include Rudy Gobert, not that they would anyway. Guys that there's really like no value. So there's the only real like valuable piece you could get something back for would be D'Angelo Russell and Naz Reid. Likely not Jalen Noel. You know, you're not going to probably trade Kyle Anderson or Torian Prince because they're valuable veterans on your team. They play specific roles. Their contracts are reasonable. There's really no incentive to trade those guys, right? No matter how interested other teams might be. So that basically leaves you with Jalen Noel, who's not going to fetch much at this point, is a small expiring contract. Naz Reid, who would fetch something, but is also a small expiring contract. And D'Angelo Russell, who is a large expiring contract and a polarizing player who the Timberwolves, if they let him walk, they don't just get that $30+ million in cap space. They have to trade him to recoup some value or extend him. But all the reports so far is that the Wolves and D'Lo have not really even seriously talked about extensions because surely he's looking for more than what the Wolves would be willing to extend him for. So all that to say, I'm on record as my prediction is that nothing happens at the deadline. I think the Wolves are rightfully still exploring it. On Monday's episode of this show, I talked about how D'Lo's value right now, because he's shooting career highs from beyond the arc, two-point field goal percentage, and at the free throw line, all those things are trending in the right direction. The defense has been more competitive lately. Perhaps there is some, reasonable value to be had for D'Lo. I also did not think the Wolves would ultimately trade him. Now, of course, on Monday night, he turned in one of his worst performances in a while and shot terribly from everywhere on the floor, including 0-for-3 at the free throw line, which is weird, or 0-for-4, maybe even. Anyway, I still think there's value there. I still think it's possible he's traded. I still think it's unlikely he's traded. But all that to say, there's a couple of rumors out there, a couple of, fake trades out there that I think are worth talking about. One is by Dan Favalli over at Bleacher Report. And he actually has this massive article where he has a trade deadline cheat sheet for every NBA team. And there's several different Wolves trades. And to be clear, these aren't necessarily sourced rumors other than the fact that everybody knows the Wolves are open to trading D'Lo. There's teams that are interested in D'Lo. So these are more really just fake trades based on real rumors. And there's a couple that I'd be completely out on. And there's one that I really like. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen. So I'll start with a couple that I wouldn't do. One is Naz Reid to the Portland Trailblazers for Keon Johnson and a couple of second round picks. I don't know why the Wolves would do that. It just doesn't make sense to me. So I'm not going to spend more time on that. The other one is Naz Reid to the Boston Celtics for Justin Jackson and a pair of second round picks, which is maybe a little bit more reasonable. But again, at that point, you hang on to Naz, especially with the apparent uncertainty regarding Karl-Anthony Towns' recovery. Like we still don't have any real updates, but it's certainly looking like a post All-Star break return. His post on, I think it was Instagram, where he had the boot on his foot, on his calf. We don't know for sure, but with any uncertainty there and how well Naz has played overall, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to trade Naz Reid for pennies on the dollar. Now, a D'Angelo Russell trade that I don't like that's mentioned in this article is to the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavs are one of a handful of teams, along with the Clippers, the Miami Heat, who have often been mentioned as potential destinations for D'Lo, teams that are interested. And this fake trade, to be clear, from Dan Favalli at Bleacher Report, is D'Lo to the Mavs for Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell, and a 2027 second round pick. Now, I hate this trade, and here's why. I really like Dwight Powell. I really like Dwight Powell. I think he's a great, would actually be a really nice fit in Minnesota. I think a year ago, I would have been like, hey, let's talk about this deal a little bit more. Now, with Rudy Gobert in the mix, why? Why would you need Dwight Powell? You don't necessarily need that. You don't need more big man depth. And in this deal, you're not trading Naz Reid anyway. So you're taking on another center on top of Gobert, Towns, Naz Reid, Nate Knight, Luka Garza, and Dwight Powell. Like, why? Why would the Wolves be interested in doing that? Tim Hardaway Jr., the point Favalli makes in the article, he tries to say the Wolves could use Hardaway's outside volume and accuracy in their dual big lineups around Anthony Edwards, etc. Okay. Volume, great. Hardaway's not a great three-point shooter. Like, he's been fine at stretches, but it's really more of a high-volume type situation for Tim Hardaway. He's 35% this year. He's 33% last year. He hasn't shot, I mean, he was 39, he was almost 40% consecutive seasons from 19 to 21 with Dallas, but the last 2 years, he's averaging about 34%. For his career, he's under 36%. And the volume thing doesn't really do a lot for me. I mean, you're trading volume in D'Lo, but then you're getting back volume for a guy who's not going to create offense. Like, at least D'Lo, you know, runs some offense, can initiate, is a really good passer. Hardaway is not those things. I don't think he's a very good player, frankly, and I don't think he's a good fit for this Minnesota Timberwolves team. So I don't know why you would trade D'Lo to take back a couple of guys. And by the way, salary too. Like, you're taking back some salary. Let's see. I lost his... Yeah. Hardaway's contract, the next 2 years, he makes almost $17.9 million next year and $16.1 million. So you're taking on 2 years and what is that? Like $34 million or something in salary? Like, why? Why would the Wolves do that? Why would they want 2 years and $34 million of Tim Hardaway to shoot below league average from 3-point range? I just don't think that makes any sense at all. And it's not something Tim Connelly and the Wolves would do. So let's not spend any more time on that. That trade, by the way, was suggested under the Mavericks cheat sheet section. Now, under the Timberwolves section, Favalli, I really like this suggestion. He's got a three-team deal here with the Timberwolves receiving Mike Conley, of course, from the Jazz, Terrence Mann, and John Wall from the Clippers. The Clippers receiving D'Angelo Russell, Naz Reid, and Bryn Forbes, all, of course, from the Wolves. And then the Jazz would get, Robert Covington, Reggie Jackson, and a couple of second-round picks. One, the Knicks pick that the Wolves own this year, and then also a pick from the Clippers. If I'm the Clippers, I don't do this deal, right? Because I think, like, I know that there's issues there, but it's more due to injuries and guys sitting and all that stuff than it is to anything else. I don't know that I trade up Terrence Mann, or that I would trade Terrence Mann and John Wall for one, you know, half season of D'Angelo Russell, half season of Naz Reid and Bryn Forbes. Like, I don't really understand what the point of that would be, unless you're convinced, unless the Clippers are convinced that they want to extend D'Angelo Russell, but he'd be playing with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, everybody needs the ball in their hands there, right? So unless they're really desperate to make a splash, the whole D'Lo back to LA, I guess, I don't know, like the narrative there, it just doesn't make much sense to me. Terrence Mann would be a fantastic fit for Minnesota. Like, we'll get to Mike Conley in a second, but Terrence Mann is like what the Wolves need, right? He's a lower usage guy. He can knock down threes. He can guard on the perimeter. He can drive to the basket. He can put pressure on the defense that way. That there's really nothing about, like, Terrence Mann would be an awesome fit for the Timberwolves. And his contract is unbelievable. He just signed an extension this year. He's actually making under $2 million. But the extension next year will pay him about $10.5 million and about $11.5 million, $11.4 million in 2 years. So he'd be under contract for 2 years and about, call it $22 million, which is a great deal for a really good player. He can also initiate some offense. He can, you're talking about, I guess, Mike Conley then is your point guard, right? Because you're trading your only point guard that's healthy on the roster in D'Lo. And Conley, I've talked about him on the show before. It's a little expensive to have him for next year. I mean, what's he owed guaranteed next year is like $14.3 million. And if you keep him on your team, which I think you would rather than eat the $14 million, he's $24.3 million next year. And Conley's clearly showing signs of decline in his age 36 season. But he's a pretty good fit for the Wolves. Obviously, he's played with Gobert. at this point, a very much a lower usage guy and still a passable defender. And I think still better defensively than D'Lo, at least than when D'Lo doesn't try defensively. So you're taking back a really good defender and a solid offensive player under with a great contract in 2 more years after this one in Terrence Mann, and another year of Mike Conley, who's a solid veteran point guard who can fill the role of D'Angelo Russell in a lower usage fashion with better defense. And that's not even talking about John Wall. Like I don't even need to get into John Wall. It'd be nice to have the depth at point guard. It'd be nice to add that element to the Timberwolves. That's not why I do the deal, though. The other two guys are why you do the deal. I don't know why the Clippers would do this, so I want to be really clear about that. And this is a fake trade by Dan Favalli at Bleacher Report. But this would be an outstanding trade. I mean, for the Jazz, if they pick up a couple second rounders and I guess Robert Covington for their troubles, Mike Conley's available, right? So I think they'd be open to doing it. This would be awesome if somehow this was something that could happen for the Timberwolves. So here's hoping that it does. All right. Next, I want to get into Anthony Edwards' play of late and if it's a realistic possibility for Ant to make the All-Star team. So we're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our presenting sponsors at FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. There's a ton of fun bets out there for Super Bowl weekend. I mean, it's my favorite time to do prop bets, etc. So much fun. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's go ahead and get into the Anthony Edwards All-Star conversation. First, let's talk about how good he's been lately before I get into whether or not I think he'll make the All-Star team, whether he should make the All-Star team. So let's go ahead and, I mean, like anytime we do this, it's arbitrary, right? You could go back to whatever point in the season. We all know that early in the year, from some combination of factors, rust, not being completely in shape, getting used to playing with both Rudy and Karl-Anthony Towns, we saw these, the take-turn offense games that Marty and I have talked about on the postcast all season, where these guys were kind of alternating who's taking charge in the offense and who's, getting the most shots off, et cetera. So we pick any arbitrary starting point. I mean, you go back to mid-December, call it that win over Chicago when the Wolves had the best offensive game in team history. If you want to go from December 18th till now, which is roughly 6 weeks, that's 24 games. He's averaging 27.9, so call it 28 points per game, 6.5 rebounds and 5 assists per game, 1.5 steals per game. And his splits are 47.7% from the floor, 39.1% from three on 8 attempts per game, and 80% from the line on just under 6 free throw attempts per game. He's also averaging nearly a block per game over that period of time. You want to take the last handful of games, just go back to that monster game against Houston. We've heard, he's scored 30 or more points in 5 of the last 6 games, and 35 or more, or I guess 34 or more in 3 of the 6. He's averaging over the last 6 games, which is silly to do, but here we are. It's fun, right? Over the last 6 games, Ant is averaging 34 points per game on 53.6% from the floor, 50.8% from three-point range on almost 10 attempts per game, just 73% from the line, but almost 7 rebounds per game, over 5 assists per game, 2 steals per game, and nearly a block and a half per game. The numbers are insane, and I don't know how much of this is he's in shape now, how much of it is there's more shots to be had with no Karl-Anthony Towns. If it's like, hey, the team needs me. If it's the All-Star push, like, hey, I have a shot to make the All-Star team. I don't know what it is, but Anthony Edwards is playing outstanding over the past, 2 weeks or so. And again, frankly, the last 6 weeks, he's playing extremely, extremely well. Now, does that mean he's an All-Star? Now, the Western Conference is really tough. If you take the last 6 weeks, that is absolutely All-Star production, no question. You could even take the last 2 months, go all the way back to the start of December, And, you know, there were a couple duds in there. He had one 5-point game. He had a couple where he scored in the teens, mid-teens, low teens. But, like, go back to Thanksgiving, call it. And he's still putting up all-star type numbers, right? It was really only early November, kind of, you know, the latter part of October when he was really struggling. The problem is that, like I said a minute ago, the West is absolutely packed. And I don't know who doesn't make it. Like, you can't argue that Ant should make it over Damian Lillard. You just can't. You can't argue he should make it over Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I know the whole, like, oh, you got to have team success. And as silly as I think that can be, there's some validity to it. But wait a minute, the Thunder have the same number of losses as the Wolves. They've played three less games. They're, you know, what is that officially? Two games back or a game and a half back of the Wolves in the West. But they have the same number of losses as the Wolves. And so you can't really make the argument like, oh, the Thunder are bad, so SGA can't make it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I said this when the Wolves played the Thunder last, like, you could argue he's been one of the best, I don't know, five players in the league this season. I mean, he's been phenomenal. Really, really good for the Thunder. So SGA's got to be in. Dame has to be in. And that probably leaves you with maybe one, maybe two guards to get in beyond that. I think probably just one because, I mean, there's a couple obvious ones. Where I lost my list. But there's a couple obvious answers of guys that are for sure going to make it. Hang on. I'm going to find my actual list here. Like, Paul George is probably going to make it. Now, I think you could argue, this is where I make my argument. I don't think Devin Booker can because of just lack of minutes played, right, with the injuries, et cetera. I think Paul George has a realistic shot at making it. I would argue for Ant over Paul George. That would be the case that I would make. I think that I think you could go either way. And this is where, like, do I think he'll actually make it? But you could certainly argue Ant over Paul George. Ant has played in 17 more games than Paul George. You could argue he's been every bit as good as George defensively for long stretches of the season. Yeah, there's been issues for Ant, and I've talked about him on the show, but there's a lot of things he's doing better than George is this year. And so you could make the argument for him over Paul George. Devin Booker, like I said, I don't think he'll make it. You could also argue for De'Aaron Fox over Anthony Edwards. I don't think that's off the table. I mean, if I remember right, he was close to making it last year as well. I think you absolutely could make the case for De'Aaron Fox to make the All-Star team. And that would, you know, that would mean that Ant doesn't. Like, I don't think they're both going to make it. So, by the way, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is shooting career high from the field, nearly a career high from three, or at least his best in 5 years. And the Kings are really good. So I think the case for Fox is every bit as strong as the case for Ant. Even if I 100% would rather have Anthony Edwards on my team, like, remove any bias, whatever. Moving forward, I think Ant has a brighter future than De'Aaron Fox. It's the same reason why I've talked about, like, for the rest of their respective careers, I'd rather have Ant than Ja Morant, right? But in this moment, Ja is certainly a better player than Ant. And I would say De'Aaron Fox, you could argue, is as well. And therefore, because of the team success and marginally better stats and impact on the game, I would argue that it's likely that Fox and or George are both in the game before Ant. I would be a little bit surprised if Anthony Edwards made the All-Star team. And I hope I'm wrong. Like, obviously, I hope he makes it. But you can make a very clear case. I would put Ant ahead of Devin Booker. I would argue for him ahead of Paul George, too. But SGA's in, Dame's in, and then you get to talking about Fox. And I think Fox is the one that probably beats him out. Now, George might, too. Like, George or Fox, I think nationally, I think folks are going to want them, you know, George for, you know, Paul George reasons, LA reasons, all that stuff. The track record, et cetera, fair or unfair. I would argue for him over George. I don't know that I'd argue for him vehemently over De'Aaron Fox. Again, hope I'm wrong. Hope Ant's in the All-Star game. I'd be a little surprised if he was. Don't let that detract from how well he's played of late, though, and just how good he's been over the last 6 weeks and especially the last 2 weeks and some high profile games upcoming too. Not that that's going to impact, you know, I guess Wednesday, Golden State. But then after that, I mean, we could get, if Ant doesn't make it, maybe there's an Ant revenge tour. You've got the TNT game against Denver next week. I mean, there's some opportunities here upcoming, and we know Ant likes the spotlight. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on. All right, let's close the show here today by talking about the Golden State Warriors and that matchup against the Wolves here on whatever night this is, Wednesday night. So we're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you have to try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me, where you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious that you won't think they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. If you're wondering what makes Built Bars so good, well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievably delicious flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. And now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs at Walmart. And also, if you're close to Sam's Club, go ahead and run in and grab a 13-bar box with the hit flavors brownie batter and churro. Just be sure to thank me later. All right, so the Timberwolves take on the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday night. And, of course, the Wolves have still, regardless of, you know, the loss on Monday, they've won, I think, 11 of 16 now is kind of where we're at. And the Warriors have been playing a little bit better of late. They had, for a long time, been essentially alternating wins and losses. And it felt like a game that perhaps the Wolves are more likely than not to win at home, you know, playing better. Well, now Golden State's won 3 straight. They beat Memphis, nice win. They beat Toronto, fine. They also won at OKC, which is a sneaky good win as well. And the first time these two teams faced off was right before Thanksgiving. It doesn't quite feel like it's been that long, but it has. And in that game, the Wolves gave up a 47-point first quarter to the Warriors. I believe this was a matinee also. I think it was like a Sunday afternoon game, if I'm not mistaken. But this was, of course, back before Karl Anthony Towns got hurt. They were down 20 at the end of the first quarter, down 20 at halftime, down 20 at the start of the fourth, and it was never really a game. Steph Curry scored 25, had 11 points, 8 assists. The Wolves did make him commit 7 turnovers. This was Klay Thompson had a big game too. He was a plus 31 in this game. Ant was good. He had 26, got to the line 11 times, had 4 rebounds, 4 assists. D'Lo had 15 and 6, but was relatively quiet overall. And Karl Anthony Towns had 21, but only 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and had 6 turnovers in this game. So not a whole lot, I don't think, to glean from this matchup. Because it was weird. I think it was a matinee. I think the Warriors got some guys back from injury. They were down 20 at the end of the first quarter. It was just kind of like, it was really ugly. And both teams were 500, or the Wolves, were, I guess, were 10-9 coming in. The Warriors were 10-10 coming in. And this was in the Warriors, it seemed like, were starting to turn their season around. Now we look up, and Golden State is still only 26-24, so only a half game ahead of the Timberwolves in the West. They still have the 15th ranked offensive rating and just the 17th best defensive rating in the NBA. So very middle of the pack in a lot of areas, but they're also relatively healthy. Andre Iguodala is the only guy that's out currently that's a rotation player, and he really wasn't even early this season anyway. He's kind of a bit player at this point. So this is a full strength Warriors team. They've obviously been sitting guys for rest and stuff like that. They're more concerned about late season playoffs than they have been about early midseason. But interestingly, so they're actually number one in pace in the league, the Warriors are. They're also number one in three-point attempts per game. They're second in three-point attempt rate per game. They're dead last in free throw rate. This is a jump shooting team through and through, and perhaps that's not surprising, but they've taken on different profiles over the years, you know, the Curry, Draymond, Clay years. And now we see them number one in pace, number one in three-point attempts per game, fifth in three-point percentage at 38%, and a handful. Even though they're only 26-24, they're not consistent. This is a team that the Wolves are going to, I think, struggle with. Now, a couple other things, though. Golden State is actually one of the few teams that turns the ball over more than Minnesota does. They're 29th in the league in turnover percentage. The Wolves are 28th. So they turn it over more than Minnesota. Minnesota does a pretty good job at forcing turnovers. Also, Golden State does not draw fouls a lot. Like I said, they're 30th in free throw rate offensively. The Timberwolves are one of the worst teams in terms of fouling. So that's, the Warriors have a shortcoming that matches well with a Timberwolves shortcoming. The Warriors don't get to the line. The Wolves commit a lot of fouls. The Warriors commit a lot of turnovers. the Wolves also commit a lot of turnovers. And the Wolves defense can force turnovers. It's been streakier more than anything else, more than it was last year, but the Wolves can force turnovers. So all that's good. I think that all those things are positive for Minnesota, and it gives them a real opportunity to kind of match their strengths, or at least, I don't know if that's the best way to say that, kind of match their strengths with Golden State's weaknesses. Now, defending the three-point line is obviously key against any team with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but again, the team that shoots the most threes per game in the league and they're fifth in percentage. The Timberwolves are 24th in opponent three-point percentage. They're 20th in three-point attempts from opponents. They do give up a lot of three-point attempts. They've been fortunate. The last couple games against Sacramento, the Kings, who are a good three-point shooting team, shot like 30% or worse each of the Saturday and Monday night. Saturday, of course, the win for Minnesota. Monday, the loss to the Kings. The Kings didn't shoot the ball well, and the Wolves got lucky for stretches. They also played well defensively for stretches, but Sacramento missed. Kevin Huerter didn't shoot the ball well. I don't think he made a single three on Monday. Guys that typically are very good from deep struggled against the Wolves. That hasn't been the case all season, and it certainly was not the case the first time the Wolves and Warriors played this season. Steph hit four threes. Klay hit five. Off the bench, DiVincenzo had four. Jordan Poole had three. And the Warriors shot almost 43% as a team, made 20 threes the last time these two teams faced each other. Now, the Wolves have been much better defensively lately overall, the late game failures against Sacramento on Monday notwithstanding. This is a scary game because of how the Wolves have struggled with Golden State most recently. However, I don't think it's an awful matchup. As long as Ant and D'Lo both come ready to play, ready to defend, active, etc., and the Wolves do a good enough job contesting on threes, they should be able to keep the Warriors off the line. Conversely, they should be able to get to the free throw line a reasonable amount against this Golden State Warriors defense. Golden State is 25th in opponent free throw rate, meaning that they're the sixth worst team in the league at allowing opponent free throws. The Wolves, again, streaky in that category too. But if Ant can be in attack mode and, you know, the Jaden McDaniels, Torian Prince's, you know, Jalen Wells can hit open threes, which is a pretty big if, although McDaniels has been much better in that category of late and Prince has been great all year and he's back healthy now, then the Wolves have a shot in this game. I think they have a reasonable shot to win, and it'll be really, really nice. Orlando's on Friday, and then you get Denver on Sunday when the homestand comes to an end. So it'd be really important to win two of these next three. And obviously Golden State and Orlando are the two more winnable games versus the Denver game Sunday. And then, of course, you go to Denver Tuesday night. So you have the home and home against the Nuggets, which will be big, but very difficult to win both of those. So bank some wins while you can. Golden State's always a tough matchup. They're playing better. They're healthy. But I think it's a winnable game for Minnesota on Wednesday. We'll do the post-game podcast, of course, Thursday morning, and the live postcast about 45 minutes after the game Wednesday night. I do that with Marnie Gellner from Bally Sports North, and you can find it live over at Lockdown Sports Minnesota on YouTube. Subscribe to that channel to make sure to be notified when we go live. And then if you can't watch live, if you miss it, you can listen on, if you're listening to the audio version of Lockdown Wolves, just go ahead. I guess it would have been two episodes ago. You can find all these postcasts. I post them after we do the live show on the Lockdown Wolves feed, so you can find them there as well. So be sure to do that if you can't join us live after the game on Wednesday. A big thank you to those of you that do make Lockdown Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on the Lockdown Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at B-Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Lockdown Wolves podcast is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now, make your second listen to Game to Game NBA podcast every moment, every top performance, and every result. Lockdown Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Lockdown can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Lockdown NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Lockdown Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.